Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in beast mode. 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 Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
The king's people, dog, is who we are. Excuse my yelling, man, I'm kinda working on my raw. While the world tries to persecute me, the line of Judas with me, nothing you can do to me. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men. Covered by his blood, hashtag all in. I'm suited up, man, I know you hear the armor clanging. Walking, fighting against the spirit, no time for fleshly banging.
No time for fleshly banging.
Ain't got no time for the naysayers. I can do all things, tell them strengthened by my savior. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and make the lame walk. But you gotta fast and pray, I tell you, dog. That's kingdom talk.
Kingdom talk. Kingdom
I've been
talk.
Saved and I ain't turning back. Going hard for the kingdom till the day the sky cracks. Like eternally. Man, can you picture that? Paid for by the cross, daddy boy on his back.
On his
the kingdom
back.
Being preached sea to sea and coast to coast. Powered by the Holy Ghost.
I'm in beast mode. 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 Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
What's up, good people? Welcome back to another edition of Kingdom Talk Radio. You know who this is, man. This is your host, Tony Dyson. Man, great to be back on today. Praise God, man, just for who he is. Let's go ahead and set the show in order tonight, man. Giving honor to God, whom every day I make the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow. My pastor, Bishop Anthony Taylor of the New Hope Worship Center. To my wife, all of you, especially my longtime listener, Mother Boyd, thank you. She was mad at me, y'all. I just talked to her before the show began. She was like, I've been waiting on you. Where you been? When I see you, it's like that. So, yeah, I had to make sure that I go ahead and come on back so I didn't have one of the mothers mad at me. But praise God for her always listening. And praise God for all you all, man, that continue to support Kingdom Talk Radio week in and week out over the years. Man, in like 2 months, it's going to be 5 years on the air, man. This is crazy, you know? But moving along, man, tonight the show is called Respect, Honor, and Idolatry. So we're really going to touch on a few things, man. You know, y'all know me, man. If nobody else wants to comment, I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to get out your way. I was supposed to have a guest tonight, Aaron Vickens, a.k.a. Bishop Nelson. Unfortunately, he and I have to be careful how I word things, man. Unfortunately, at this moment, he's not feeling well. He actually inboxed me or texted me about 15 minutes ago. Was like, bro, I can't make it on the show tonight. Took sick at school. You know what I'm saying? And I hate to say people, you know what I'm saying, are sick, because that's totally against the word of God, man. The word says that I am well. So, prayers up for Aaron Vickens, man. Great brother, man. Great encourager in the gospel, man. I really, really appreciate him. But I'm going to continue to play the music anyway. You know what I'm saying? I just have him on to comment on another topic on another day. So if you all would, please, man, when you pray, as you pray, you know what I'm saying, continue to send those prayers up for Aaron Vickens, a.k.a. Bishop Nelson. All right? Appreciate it. Also, man, it's moving along in 2017 already, man. I mean, it's like, here it is again, man. This year is getting away from us, and it's crazy. But you know what? I'm gonna say it like this, man. You know, back in November, was it November? I think it was November when the election came along. Everybody was Hillary this, Hillary that, Trump this, Trump that. So, you know, Donald Trump is the next president of the United States of America. Oh, excuse me, y'all. Y'all know me. I'm gonna always keep it real. As youngsters say, I'm always keeping 100 with you, man. We act like, I'm sorry, some act like that Donald Trump being the president is the absolute worst thing that could, can, or would happen to the United States of America. I'm gonna say it like this. If we're not proactive in our own life, in our own house, in our own neighborhoods, there is nothing that Donald, Hillary, Obama, whomever, can do for you personally. I really think the issue is we are so busy deflecting our responsibilities from ourselves onto everybody else. You know, I also look at the situation where Pastor Bishop Eddie Long passed over the weekend, I believe. I wasn't a follower of him much at all. I was briefly acquainted to some of the scandals and things of that nature that, you know, involved him. But the thing is this, man. We wait until someone is dead and gone to either say how much we love them or how much we hated them, how great they were or how bad they were, the works that they done and the works that they didn't do, how much of a saint they was, how much of a sinner they were. I'm going to say it like this, man. I don't feel that. Because the thing is, the issue is, man, is that if we claim to be Christians and followers of Christ, we have to send that love out there. And actually, this is going to get into this new segment that we have. But we got to send that out there, man. How many of us that's condemning that man right now for whatever sins he has committed in his life, man, that's between him and God and the people he committed it with? And I know somebody gonna throw stones at me and not really agree with what I say, but you know, say it's my opinion. Everybody got one, and everybody ain't gotta like them. But the thing is that how many people that were bashing him, that are bashing him, especially those that claim that we know Christ, how many ever tried to write him? You know what I'm saying? How many actually prayed for him? I'm talking about labored and prayed for him. And that's the thing, man, is that many of us, and please take this in the spirit that I give it in, many of us are not even worthy for our scandals to be put out there. See, people who live in the spotlight all the time, every move that they make is scrutinized. Now, am I taking up for what happened? I am not, but I didn't pay it that much attention either. I mean, I heard about what happened, but you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. People that are in the spotlight, man, they have a better chance of sin exposure and you know what I'm saying, backsliding exposure, or you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be. But I'm pretty sure that if the spotlight was shined in our lives like that on a consistent basis, there'd be all kind of stuff crawling out the nooks and crannies of our life as well. I'm just saying, y'all. And I really mean it. I mean, from the pit of my heart, man. This thing is, you know, is getting out of hand. I remember reading some Facebook posts, man, about, you know, where he at in hell and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, I hear what y'all saying. We don't know what happened between that man and God before he took his last breath. The Bible says, man, we all fall short. We all. Not just bishops. Not just pastors or reverends or preachers or ministers or apostles or evangelists. We all fall short of the glory of God. But one thing you better know, that we better know, that God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. And while we're sitting here judging what that man did thousands, well, maybe not thousands, but hundreds of miles away, well, depending on where you're listening at or listening from, thousands of miles away, what's going on in our life right now that if we were to drop dead, God forbid, this very moment, what kind of scandal, what kind of words will someone have to say about your life? That you are a liar, that we were cheaters, that we were source of discord, that we smoked weed in private, that we were drunkards, whoremongers, adulterers. What would our life say about us? I'm saying that to say this, man. We get to a point in time to where we've got to grow up spiritually. Everything does not warrant a reaction. Everything does not warrant a response. Many times we're just too entertained on responding to people, and it messes up our witness. I'm going to continue this on because it's actually leading into the topic, man, respect, honor, and idolatry. But right now I'm getting ready to introduce, man, a new segment to Kingdom Talk Radio. Y'all let me know what y'all think. I really want feedback on this, man. This brother, man, is dear to my heart. Darren Johnson, love the brother, man. His wife, you know, the owner of Say What He Said. They're an awesome couple for the kingdom, man. So this is a segment called Let Me Holler At You. So tell me what y'all think. I definitely need some feedback. We'll be right back on Kingdom Talk Radio. Very, very shortly. Let go.
What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing this evening? My name is Darren Johnson, and this is, hey, can I holler at you 1 second? Little bit different spin, and God's willing, we're going to do this as Kingdom Talk allows us and the help of the Lord allows us to on a weekly basis. Tonight, man, what I really want to take a few moments and just speak on is the level of compassion that we have for each other. I want us to operate with more compassion, more love. You know, a lot of times we are so harsh in how we deal with each other, harsh in how we try to win a soul, harsh in how we try to say we're right or you're wrong, that we forget that it is with love and kindness have I drawn thee. What happened to the spirit of love? What happened to compassion? That doesn't mean that you have to accept or agree with whatever somebody is dealing with, struggling with, going through. But let's be honest. Everybody's had a certain point in their life when they felt it was me against the world. Nobody understands what I'm going through. You have hundreds of thousands of people that commit suicide every year. And every last one of them, if they left a note, it would say somewhere in that letter that no one understands what I'm going through. In our school systems right now, even today, somebody listening's child was bullied. And that child feels that nobody understands what they're going through. So everybody has this nobody understands, it's me against the world mentality. And how can you honestly expect to win somebody and you're not showing them love and compassion? But yet the very thing that has them compelled to sin or just whatever they're struggling with, that area typically will show them love and kindness. They'll accept them. Why? Because you're one of us. So how can I bring you to the light and I'm not operating with more love, more compassion, more empathy, more concern? This is something we have to get back to. I want everybody, that one person that you got on your prayer list, that one person that you know needs some encouragement and uplifting, I want you to ask yourself, in all honesty, am I coming at them in a way that's really going to get them to where I want them to be? Or am I browbeating them? The main objective is to love, to win a soul. How can I do it? How can I draw them in? Sometimes, and really what I want everybody to do, myself included, before you open your mouth and say anything, ask the Lord to guide your words. Pray about it. If you don't have a real answer, thus said the Lord, let's just take a second and step back. Speak with love and compassion. Man, you know, I've been through some things myself and I completely understand. And find a time where you can get with them. Even if you just encourage them, man, I just want to keep you encouraged. It'll get better. God loves you. He ain't forgot about you. Until God gives you the true words and puts on your heart what to say, don't speak out your flesh. So, again, today, I just want to encourage everybody that whatever you're going through, it will get better. God has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. He ain't forgot about you. Don't matter where you strayed away to, strayed away from, you have a home in the kingdom. There's plenty of people around. Some folks praying for you, you ain't even met in person. But it's with love and compassion are we going to win this fight in this day and age. Keep that in mind, especially as the change of presidency and power takes place in the United States. It's only with love and compassion will we begin to get to where we need to be. With love and compassion will we build up as a city and as a nation instead of tearing each other down. Look at other communities and how they're able to come together. And ask yourself, why can't we do that? See, on a simple scale, my color sisters, they make up the majority of the money that will go into the hair and nail business. How many hair and nail businesses are owned and operated by those same women? And when they do open it up, do we support it? And we could go on and on and on and on. And it's not even a one race thing. It's a people thing. Let's support each other. Let's get to the common goal. People, there's enough out there to eat. McDonald's is not worried about them hamburgers that Burger King is flipping. They charbroiled, I will admit. I will admit, they smell good. Can I talk to you? But they're not worried about it. We shouldn't be worried about there's not enough money to go around. Let's support each other. Let's love each other. And let's do the will of the Lord. And if he sees fit, I'm going to holler at you next time. Next week, lock me in for a few minutes of your time. And I just want to know, can I holler at you?
Pentecost.
Oh.
us all together in one place. One accord, one worship, one praise, one praise. And suddenly, a wind from heaven came, but so violently filled up the house, and the whole room entirely. And divided tongues of fire, fire rested on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. As the Spirit gave them that utterance, as the Spirit gave them that
Pentecost.
Enjoyed that segment, man, called "Hey, Let Me Holler at You," followed by Pentecost by Bishop Nelson, man, aka Aaron Vickens. So let's just talk a little bit tonight, man, about the subject at hand. Let's talk about, now to me, respect is, it's like having fondness for like someone's living, for their character, their well-being, how they are, you know, their attitude. Being agreeable with the way that they live. The dictionary says is esteem or a sense of the worth of excellence of a person, a personal quality or ability, or something considered as a manifestation of a personal quality or ability. Privileged position, or someone or something having to have certain rights or privileges, proper acceptance, courtesy, or acknowledgement, to hold in esteem or honor, to show regard or consideration for. Respect. Respect nowadays is lip service. I mean, is there any respect anymore? I look at back in the day I'm finna be 40, so let's just say 25 years ago. Well, me and my partners would walk down the street. You know, we were away from our parents, man. You know, we was youngsters running around Union Station, Loop City Loop, you know, clowning. We'd be cussing and, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be. But when we came upon elders, and see, even back in that day, I'm talking about, you know, early 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s, that we considered anyone that we perceived to be grown and wise an elder. I mean, they didn't have to be like old, but, you know, we knew that they were grown. We didn't cuss. There were certain things we didn't do, certain things we didn't say, certain things that we wouldn't talk about. Just for the simple fact that this person has paid their time and their dues to society to get to where they are now, probably has raised kids, kids maybe our age or older than us. We paid them that homage of saying, hey, you know, we knuckleheads right now, but we gonna respect the fact that you are where you are in life, and we gonna keep it chill. Now, when you get from amongst our presence again, we gonna get back to clowning and doing what we do. You know, it really burns me up now to where, when young folks, man, it's like sometimes I'll be driving down the street, especially out here in North County, and kids will step out in the middle of traffic, in the middle of the street. I mean, no crosswalk, no nothing. And it, apparently to me, their sense of respect has been lost. Their minds have been defiled and deprived, and they've been degraded to a point in time, to a state that they feel like that they are nothing. So if you've been placed personally, state of mind, in a situation to where respect is nothing, you've been degraded and downgraded and belittled time and time again, saying how the young black men and young black women won't reach the age of 21, and every time you leave the house, make sure that you have your affairs in order, because a simple jaywalking ticket may be the end of your life. To where the mindset of our young men is that they hit 25, 27, that they are OGs now, because the life expectancy of our young men is not long at all anymore. When their self-worth has been eroded and worn away, and their sense of who they are have been stripped away, and we show them no respect, how are they supposed to respect us? And my issue is not with the young people. It's with the households that they live in. I was not raised by my biological mom. I didn't know my father until I was in my mid-20s. So therefore, my grandmother, as she raised me, God rest her soul, I was raised with respect. You don't talk back to figures of authority. Now, the thing is that a figure of authority, let's look at that right quick. Someone who has a figure of authority, they cannot browbeat authority, ties authority into another individual. That's something we do with animals, where we train them. See, I've come to find out that over my short time of dealing with children, whether they're my children or other children, children and people in general react to those that they can relate. Now, when I say relate to, I don't sag and I no longer have a grill and braids and things like that. But the thing is that when I talk to young people, when I have that opportunity, that I talk to them like they're individuals. There have been situations in my life to where I've had the opportunity to classify, and that's one thing that I have not done, is try to classify and group young people together. See, the thing is that regardless of how we think young people want to be grouped together, they still want to be individuals. That respect level comes to is that when you don't talk at them, talk down to them, but I'm going to come to your level and attempt to elevate you. There's a big difference between like and respect. I don't care who don't like me. I can frankly care less. My wife loves me. My kids love me. So therefore, I'm okay with that. Even with my kids, and y'all, I ride my kids. Seriously. I ride my kids. My kids are fortunate enough to have their mother and their father in their life. Even, you know, my other two daughters. I mean, I don't ride my 21-year-old. You know, that boat has sailed. My 16-year-old, you know, myself and my wife were definitely in her life, you know, with her mom. But the thing is that they're fortunate to have both of their parents in their lives that are caring, that are concerned. My kids don't like everything I say to them. When I tell them to get up and wash the dishes, or, you know, my wife tells them to do something, they don't like it. But the thing is that they know. And if they don't, myself and my wife, we tell them enough that we love them so much that we leave out of here every day with them on the mind and each other, as far as my wife and me and myself and her, how we can make each other's lives better. What can we possibly do to enhance each other's life? And our kids respect that. I don't care if they don't like what I say when I fuss. It doesn't bother me. But they're going to respect it. Thing that we have to get down to, we think that we can beat fear into our kids, and we can punish fear into our kids, and we can slap fear into our kids. But when you understand that someone has fought tooth and nails to get where they are, and they've overcome and they've made it, you respect it. You have no choice but to respect it. So another point is honor. Now, I'm going to go straight to the dictionary for honor. It says honesty, fairness, or integrity in one's belief and actions. A source of credit or distinction. High respect as for wealth, merit, or rank. Such respect manifested to hold in honor or high respect, to revere, to treat with honor. Now, there are people in our life that we honor. The Bible teaches us as little ones to honor thy mother and thy father in the days of thy youth, that our days may be long upon the earth. My grandma always used to tell me, she said, boy, God hates a disobedient child. You won't live half your days. Well, mama, I'm about to hit my 40th year, so I think that you taught me well. Praise God. Honor. This is the thing about honor. Honor, I believe, and if I'm wrong, then I'll be that. I believe honor is totally different than respect. See, I respect my wife. Okay? And baby, before you get tripping, and she ain't at home, y'all, so but she listening. So hear me out. I respect my wife. Myself and my wife don't always see eye to eye. Nose to nose, forehead to forehead. You know what I'm saying? And I know there's some things that I do sometimes that she doesn't care for. And there are some things that she may do. Notice I said things I do and things she may do. Yeah, I get cool points for that one, I know. But there may be things that she may do that I don't care for. But I'm going to respect our difference. Now, because I honor her as well, and because she honors me also, that when that respect system still not agreed upon, that is not grounds to just go and wild out. Because I honor her. I honor my marriage. I honor our relationship. And see, that's another thing that we don't have nowadays is honor. See, we don't have a sense of honoring anymore. We've gotten to the place to where people who have no stake, people that have no commitment in our lives, in our growth, in our development, in our spiritual enhancement, have now taken up residence in our minds and our hearts for honor. Our pastors, our husbands, our wives, you know, they're meant to be honored. But we're at a place right now to where I truly believe that the wrong people are being honored. And what I'm stating is that by the wrong people being honored, that means that our perceptions are being falsely executed based on the honor that we're showing the wrong people. See, I honor the officers that put their life on the line. I honor the military people who are out thousands of miles away from home, and their families are back here for years at a time while they fight a battle keeping us safe. And it's not because I'm former military as well. I can honor someone like that. You're impacting my life without knowing me. Our young people now, man, are honoring these rap stars and these movie stars, and you know what I'm saying? And I can hear you for a source of entertainment, but honor. Answer this for me. Can we truly show gratitude for someone that we've never met? For someone that has no stake in our lives? And if the answer is no, then where in the world are the honorable men and women to take back our young people? We've allowed them to float over to the Nicki Minaj's, to the Lil Wayne's. We've allowed it. And what has happened is that now, since they honor these people, if their bodies are not shaped like, if their lyrics don't pop light, then they're nothing. They feel like that they're nothing. They feel like that they've been defeated. Young men, period. As out here, day out and day in, going to work, making sure your wife and your kids are well, making sure your house is in order no matter what, I honor you. Women that's making sure that your house is in order, that your husband needs are met, making sure that the kids are well, that looks to your husbands for strength and for guidance, praying for him and just constantly speaking greatness upon his life, I honor you. Marriage is not honored anymore. They've changed it. So the institution has now been downgraded to where you can do what you want to do how you want to do it. We're at a point in time now where God isn't even honored anymore. I mean, I understand, you know, I'm not foolish, man. I've dealt with many people that believe in many different things, and pretty much almost everybody believes in a higher power than us. Even atheists, they believe in the power of physics and all that good stuff, that is a higher power than them themselves in this form, spirituality. But, you know, let me tell it. But now we're at a point in time, man, to where the sanctity of respect for God is like thrown out the window. When our little ones used to be sheltered from certain things and certain actions, that they wouldn't hear certain stuff coming from certain avenues or see certain things coming from certain people because we honored the young ones. And when I say we honor the young ones, that means that we continue to pave the way to make sure, like, hey, I didn't have it like this. But doggone it, I'm going to keep my hand to the plow and I'm going to keep pushing. And maybe by me laying out some type of road ahead of you, you would not fall into some of the traps and snares that I did. I honor you, son and daughter. I didn't do everything right when I was young, and there were some bad decisions that I made. There were some horrible choices that I made, and now the consequences are upon me. But still, that is not going to stop me from allowing you to live up to your potential. I honor you, son and daughter. But somewhere along this road and somewhere on this train of life, we've decided to get off at the next stop and let the train run itself. So now the train is running itself and is blasting through stopping points. It's speeding along the railways and it has started to derail because we have failed to honor the ones coming behind us. The 60s and 70s were spent with people sacrificing body body parts and sacrificing their families and even sacrificing their life to pave the way for those who came behind them in hopes it would be just a little bit easier. Men and women, I honor you. But somewhere down the line, as that train derailed and the riders have just been strewn all over the place, and no one at all has stopped to inspect the collateral damage and say, wait a minute, let's assess the people. Where did the train go off track? We need to go back to that last stop, pick up the pieces, and move forward. But in the process of the derailment, everybody just have kind of wandered along their own path. And the train has never gotten back on track. Idolatry. The religious worship of idols, excessive or blind adoration, reverence, devotion. Obsession, madness, mania. How about that? People, idolatry. See, because I believe out of respect comes honor. But then, and if I may say this perfectly, out of too much honor, I hate to say too much honor, but out of too much honor comes idolatry. We have really, really, really gotten to the point to where so much is making idols of our everyday life, our cars, our houses, our shoes. You know, I ain't gonna even sit here in front for a while, man. For a few years of my marriage, man, like, me gaming was my idol. That's what I did. Every new game that came out, I had to get it. Had to play it for hours on end. You know, well, baby, I'm in the house, so you know what? Yeah. It was an idol, and it was taken away from my marriage, man. I ain't gonna sit here in front. And now I have a balance. My wife has her time, and I try to make sure that my time with her is more time than I spend on the game. I have nights, Friday, Saturday nights. You know what I'm saying? I get home, we eat dinner, whatever. I'm downstairs kicking it. I may be down at 12, 1 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? But those other five nights, more than likely, I'm with the wife. We Netflix and chilling. We booed up. You know what I'm saying? Or if it's with the kids, you know, and now I've gotten games that we all can join in as a family and play. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to, you know, just continue to do things in that fashion. I'm going to tell you what broke me from that, man. Number of years ago, our house was broken into. I had like two Xbox 360s in the house, computers, had a bunch of games, man, big TVs, you know. My wife had bought me a couple pair of Jordans, you know. All that stuff was taken. And it hurt. The times that I could come downstairs and game, I couldn't game no more. Like 2 or 3 weeks, man, I'm just like, you know, we had like one TV in the house before someone gave us another TV. I mean, it was pretty bad. And my son, man, I was sitting on the side of the bed. And my son couldn't have been no more than like 4. He came over, put his hand on my head. He said, "Daddy, it's going to be okay. God going to give everything back." And during that time, that took couple of weeks, man, you know, as I said, someone had gave us a TV. We hooked up this little thing called a Roku to it. We hooked up the little Roku, and myself and my wife found Netflix. And oh my God, we started watching series and series after series, and we grew to like really love it, you know, just being together, just watching TV together, you know. And I remember when the insurance check came, and this new Xbox was about to come out, and I had been eyeballing this Xbox, man, like, forever. Since it came out, but I was waiting on this insurance check to come. I remember the day I came home with this new Xbox, the Xbox One. I came home with it. You know, we went shopping, and everybody got new TVs. You know, so it was kind of like, you know, I got a smart TV, you know, for my wife, and me a smart TV. Then the kids got TVs, and then we start getting games back in and stuff like that. I could kind of see in my wife's face like, okay, it's over. But I made it a point, man, you know, to say, hey, Bates, you know, all right, Friday, Saturday nights, you know what I'm saying? I come in from work, and I was kind of working later at the time. This is what I'm going to do. But usually, I mean, like Monday night, you know, we watch TV as a family. Me and my wife may watch a little something. Tuesday nights, me and the wife. Wednesday nights, you know, they get in kind of late after Bible study, so not much of anything. Thursday nights, when it was Thursday night football, I would actually come out here and watch football while my wife watched, you know, her little stuff. And then if certain things are on, I would actually come down here for a little bit till they go off. But Friday, Saturdays, you know, pretty much my night. And Sunday nights, you know, once we get in from church or work or whatever the case may be, that's what we do. We've gotten to a point in time, man, to where, and I'm not talking about my family, I'm saying us in general, men are being made idols. Pastors are being made idols. Pastors are actually being worshipped. To where marriages are being destroyed. Because the husband and the wife wants to follow the pastor instead of coming together, you know, as one flesh. And sometimes you've got to pray about what the pastor said. Well, baby, I hear you, but that ain't in our plan. Now, some people may frown up about that, but sometimes, man, you got to take inventory of your house. Real talk. Now, I mean, that's a fickle and a very, very, very touchy situation. And we're going to talk about it one day. Get that if a man and woman are one, and they've come to a conclusion and to an agreement, I don't think that there's anybody that can come between that and cause division in your house. House divided against itself shall not stand. We're in a day and age to where the ground some men walk on is worshipped, and everything that they do is worshipped. They can do no wrong, and unless it comes from them, it ain't right. We have idolatry in the Bible, the golden calf idolatry. There were many other things in the Bible, man, that were made idols, and they were destroyed. We have to be very careful of what we put bigger than life, bigger than God, bigger than our spiritual walk, bigger than our spouses. I miss so much of my kids' life for work. Work was my idol, but I got to work, get this money to pay the bills so the lights won't get cut off, so the gas won't get cut off. I mean, it's paying off now. I could have done things maybe a little different. The thing is that we're respecting people with fame and notoriety more than we respect our next-door neighbor. so-and-so dies that we've seen on TV, and everybody's making a Facebook post about it. But this little boy who was 10 that was supposed to celebrate his 11th birthday on today has been hit by a person right here in the city, and no one has come forward. Let it have been Denzel Washington got hit by a car. And there's nothing personal against Denzel. What I'm saying is that when people are in famous positions, we tend for some reason to have so much more of a connection with them than we do about than people that we're next to on a day-to-day basis. You know, people that have cars and if a speck of dust hit their car, they're outside wiping on it, spit shining it. You can't do this in the car. You can't do it. Now, I understand, you know, taking care of things, but some people do go overboard. It's their idol. Ask yourself, what drives you? What keeps you going? The Bible said, love thy neighbor. But we're in love with people that we have never or would never see. We allow things to happen in our streets and in our neighborhoods that 30, 40 years ago wouldn't have happened. People who were committing these crimes would have been dragged out by the neighborhood. We're looking at men and presidents as idols. But the thing is that when you make something or someone your idol, you take away the power of self, and that has been granted through Christ Jesus. You got the me factor. But understand, this world, this life is a we factor. The body of Christ. I did schedule a little bit longer show, man, but I'm about to wrap it up. I know, you know, once the 8 o'clock hour hits, some people move on to do other things. I appreciate you all listening in. But be very careful on what you get trapped up in. Oh, what are you putting before your wife? Women before your husband? Before your kids? What is it? Compare it to the Word of God. If it don't make sense, you might need to get rid of it. Respect, honor, and idolatry. Believe it or not, society is founded upon those three things, and everybody fits into one of those categories. We'll go before the throne of prayer. I'm sorry, before the throne of grace and prayer. And then I'm going to close out with this song, man, by Bishop Nelson. It's called Heaven. I call it Heaven Open Up. I love this song, man. When I first got his CD, this one of the songs that really grabbed me, man. It was right after Mom had passed, and it spoke volumes to me. His whole CD is, man, but this song spoke volumes to me. But as we pray, precious Father in heaven, we come before you this evening, and we thank you just for who you are. We thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do. We thank you for last night's rest. We thank you for the activities of the day. We thank you for bringing us back home safe and in one piece. Position of our right minds, activities of our limbs, reasonable portion of our health and our strength. Lord, we come to you and we ask that you search us from within our minds and our hearts. And Lord, we pray that there's anything that is placed above you, that we love more than you, or our spouses or ourselves, we ask, oh God, that you show us how to do so in line with you. Show us how to love or respect and honor the way that you would call us to. Lord, we pray that the communities come together and band together and stand up for all the atrocities and unrighteousness being done. Lord, I ask that you call your people out of the church and off the pews and bring out your salvation to the people that have been tossed away, that have been thrown to the side, that have been forgotten about. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for strength and power. We thank you that we are able to repent and turn from our wicked ways, that you will continue to hear from heaven on our behalf. We pray that you continue to give us seeds to sow. We pray that you give us strength to continue to plow. We thank you for the rain to grow the seeds. And we thank you for harvest time that lays ahead. Watch over us, lead us, and guide us according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Always remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith without works is dead. It's Tony Dyson signing off, man, to next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Know this, I love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. Until next time, when Kingdom Talk returns, this once again is Aaron Vickens, a.k.a. Bishop Nelson, with Heaven Open Up. I'll catch you next week.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord, and I come before your presence, Lord God, giving you my plea. This is my plea through my testimony that you've given unto me, Father. Lord God, I pray that you open